I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Billy Bamborough, editor of economics and business website verdict.co.uk. A very good morning to you, Billy.
Good morning.
Plenty as always to talk about when it comes to the world of politics, both here and abroad. But I want to talk to you about something, if it's possible. I do appreciate that this has only happened in the last sort of 15 minutes. But the government has essentially won, hasn't it, its legal challenge, or a legal challenge over British citizens bringing their foreign partners into the UK. Now, the government requires those from outside the EU to have a minimum level of income before their spouses can join them. And today's ruling says the policy does not breach human rights legislation. So just explain to us what went on in the Supreme Court this morning.
So as you said, Georgia, this is a victory for the government here. The judges have rejected the appeal by families who are arguing that these rules, which say that Britons must earn more than £18,600 before a husband or wife from outside the European Economic Area can settle in the UK, that does not breach their European, their human rights to family life. So this is it's been a very long-running case that has gone through numerous different appeals courts over recent years. So the judges have so far ruled that seven justices of the UK's highest court have said that this does not breach their human rights. So this is something that will stand. However, the court did decide that the rules and instructions require amendments in relation to the duty towards children. So this is obviously a conversation that is going to roll on as people do try and get to grips with the specific details. And I think it would be likely that we do see some other challenges brought in some other ways. That is so often the case with this kind of thing at various different courts.
I think we have a bit of a bad line, but I'll try and keep going. We'll, of course, give you much more on that, the Supreme Court decision dismissing a legal challenge over British citizens bringing their foreign partners into the UK. That ruling only in the last 20-odd minutes. But we're going to turn your attention, if it's all right. Lots about Brexit. We'll talk about Jean-Claude Juncker in a second, but the Times this morning, Billy, leading with remarks from Brexit Secretary David Davis, who on a visit to Eastern Europe reportedly saying British workers would not be ready to fill jobs done by European migrants for years and years. And also there's talk in The Guardian this morning about concerns from city bankers that the loss of banking jobs to the EU due to Brexit could threaten British and European financial stability. We also have French presidential hopeful Emmanuel Macron coming to London, didn't he, trying to woo London-based financial companies. Make some sense of all this for us.
Well, that's exactly what they're all trying to do. So we had Emmanuel Macron in London yesterday meeting with Theresa May and with Philip Hammond to try and convince or to really push the case for businesses and financial companies, especially moving to Paris. I mean, all of the different cities around the European Union are really pushing for various different parts of various different banks to move to their capitals, saying that theirs is the one that is going to replace London, or at least catch up to London as a financial hub around Europe. This, of course, has been rumbling on for a very long time, and while many city executives have scoffed at the prospect of moving significant operations to the French capital due to things like the stricter labour laws and political aversion to financial services and Paris's general lack of legal and financial ecosystem compared to London. Mm. We already have had news from HSBC, for example, that they are going to or are planning to move 1,000 roles to Paris over the next couple of years. JP Morgan's thinking of moving 4,000 roles away from London. UBS, Morgan Stanley, all have named the likes of Frankfurt and Madrid as possibilities for jobs. So this is, of course, something that is going to be part of the negotiation over the next couple of years. Brexit Minister David Davis has, of course, said that no one, or he is convinced that no one really wants to move, but he does accept that some jobs will move as a result of the changing regulatory and political landscape. But he has said that this isn't going to leave empty cabins or rubbish blowing through empty windows in the city. So already we are seeing banks making these contingency plans if the worst does happen, if they are unable to conduct business in London and interact with with Europe in the way that they would like to, once the UK has left the European Union in a couple of years' time. But we are also seeing at the same time on the other side, Goldman Sachs is building a new London HQ near St. Paul's. It's expected to have all sorts of interesting amenities, and it's going to be able to hold 8,000 people. That's more than the 6,000 who are currently on Goldman's London payroll. So they are, you can infer from that, expecting to add 2,000 people to their London roster by 2019 when that office opens. So while there are going to be obviously changes made and banks making these kind of contingency plans, they are also planning clearly to keep growing their London operations as well. To say that the banks are going to abandon the city perhaps for Paris seems potentially unlikely, especially as one of the reasons that they would be leaving London for Paris is for the European Union, and there's a good chance that Macron won't actually win. It will be Le Pen, and then France will be in the same situation as the UK, as Le Pen is obviously very keen on withdrawing France from the European Union. So that would be exchanging one risky situation for another. But there are other opportunities that the banks may consider around Europe.
Okay, Billy, I think I'm going to let you go there. The line is not fantastic. That was Billy Bamborough, editor of economics and business website verdict.co.uk, going through some of the top political stories of the day.